Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's 3 Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, a troubling life issue, now is the time to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, we want to hear from you right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Most of us are familiar with this verse, or these two verses, but it starts in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Now, Paul was certainly ashamed of Jesus Christ being a Jew and being somebody that was leading the Jewish people in a new direction. He was so embarrassed by that. His zeal to purify the people overtook him, and he persecuted the church and was out to get rid of this new thing called the way, or the sect called the way. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and everything changed. And as he went out into the world, as God sent him out into the world to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ, he went out unashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And here's the reason why. And this is what we have to really understand. And this is why we have to take really pay special attention to what's happening in theological circles today, because oftentimes we want to make the message relevant to current world events. We want to bend the message so it fits in with what's going on in current times. Right. But when we try to do that, we rob the gospel of something incredibly important to us. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So there's only one message that has the power of salvation, the power of God unto salvation, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if we try to compromise on presenting that message, if we want to make it a little less offensive, if we want to make it a message that tickles the ears, then we're going to rob it of its power, the power of God unto salvation. And we don't want to do that. We want to deliver this good news as clear and as direct and as straight as possible. Why? Because in it, there's a power that is there.
Absolutely.
The power of God unto salvation. Now, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So what's the power of God unto salvation in this message? It is the righteousness of God. So you and I are unrighteous when we come into this world. We need to be cleansed of our unrighteousness so that we could be made righteous in the sight of God. So what does the cross of Jesus Christ do? It cleanses us of unrighteousness. It takes our sins, it places us upon Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in receiving Christ, we receive his righteousness. We're made right.
Yes.
That's something the law could not do for us. That's something the world could not do for us. The world does not have power to make us righteous in God's sight. The law does not have the power to make us righteous in God's sight. Money does not have the power to make us righteous in God's sight. Power and prestige in this world does not have the power to make us right in God's sight. Those all come up way short. Only the gospel contains the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith. So let's, in this new year, as Basic Gospel Nation, let's go out on these airwaves with the confidence and the boldness in the gospel of Jesus Christ to do exactly what Paul proclaims it will do, contains the power of God unto salvation. People need to be saved from sin and death. People need to be made right, to be made righteous in God's sight. There's only one message that can do that, folks, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ.
And in line with that, Bob, as we've said so many times to our listeners, because you give to support this ministry and the message of grace in Jesus Christ, you have a part in every life that is touched. So our heartfelt thanks to each of you who stand with us month by month with your love and support of this message and this ministry. Right now in the month of January, by the way, we're going to say thanks for your support with a copy of Bob Christopher's Top 10, a CD series that will encourage you in your walk with Jesus and help you grow in His grace. The Top 10 series can be yours as you make your gift this month. You can donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Of course, that's our website, and at the top of the page there, you'll find the donate link, and we encourage you to go there. Click it and stand with us, friends. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Well, on Friday's broadcast, we mentioned three New Year's resolutions for every believer, yeah. And we started with this: find your place of rest in Jesus Christ. That's where God wants us to be. That's right in the center of God's will. When we're resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're exactly where God wants us to be. And from that place of rest, all good things are going to flow from there.
Yeah.
And then we said grow in grace and then your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third resolution is to walk as a child of light. That's who we are. That's what God has made us. He's rescued us from the realm of darkness. He's placed us into His marvelous light. We are children of light. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense that we learn what it means to walk as children of light in this world of darkness. Yeah. Well, this Top 10 series will help you in all three of those resolutions. Those Top 10 passages will help you find your place of rest in Jesus Christ. They help me find my place of rest in Jesus Christ. They will help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They've helped me grow in grace. And I go back to them over and over and over. And every time I do, it's as fresh as if I've never read them before. Yeah. And God, by His Spirit, helps me grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then walking as children of light, these passages will help you learn who you are and to live out who you are in this world of darkness. So we want to put this resource into your hands so that you can experience these three resolutions in the new year.
Absolutely. And again, friends, you can visit basicgospel.net. Click that prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. You've said that the Lord's going to even cause our mistakes to benefit us or help us or something. And I have trouble believing that because my mistakes plague me every day.
Well, here's the promise, and it's in Romans 8:28. It's Romans 8:28, and it says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So we have a promise from God that God is going to work all things together for our good. Well, that's going to include our mistakes. So oftentimes we make wrong turns, we make wrong choices, we give in to the desires of the flesh, we give in to the temptations of this world, we cave, we compromise, we do all sorts of things. That's just part of the human experience. But God is bigger than each and every one of those decisions that we make, those actions that we take, those words that we say, and He's big enough to continue His work in our lives. So when He said He was going to conform us into the image of Christ Jesus, then that's exactly what He's going to do. That's what's been predestined for each and every one of us. So He can even take those mistakes that we've made and can turn them for good. That's just the way He works. So He's not bound by our mistakes. He doesn't react to our mistakes. He simply uses those in ways that sometimes are mysterious to us, but He uses those to continue to work in us to conform us to the image of His Son. So, Mary Jo, you're in that process, and we're all in that process as believers in Christ Jesus. and he started the work. He's going to complete the work that he began in us. We can count on that. So that means he's going to do that even when we're making mistakes, even when we're choosing to sin, even when we're giving in to the desires of the flesh. That's just the goodness of God. That's just the promise of God. That's the power of God.
About how many would you say are in the Lord? I mean, is there a way that you can know that?
No, we can't know that number. I mean, I think that's just an impossible number for us to know, but God knows. Yeah. God knows who is in the Lord, and God is working through us to draw others to the Lord as well. So we're a part of this great rescue mission that God launched thousands of years ago, executed the plan, and Jesus Christ has rescued us out of darkness and placed us into light, and now we're a part of that rescue mission as well. So we can make a difference in this world today simply by walking in dependence upon the Lord Jesus, having him open our eyes to the needs around us, and then having the courage to be a voice for this gospel message in the world today.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
Always good to hear from you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well,
indeed.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. If you have 11 past 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and your opportunity to call directly into the studio right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Dexter, Missouri, and talk with Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How about you, Gary?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got a question that's been on my mind quite a bit lately. Just tell me whenever you're ready for it.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I know marriage is supposed to be a sacred covenant in the Word of God. You know, even the Pharisees asked them, can you just give your wife a divorce certificate? And he said, since the beginning, you leave your father and your mother and you be joined to your wife and you become one flesh, and what God puts together, let man not separate. I was just wondering, you know, I kind of rushed into my relationship, but I love my wife and child very much, but I'm trying to see, can you ever marry the wrong person? And, or whenever you make them vows, is it meant to be after you make those vows to the Lord? And I just want to know about unequally yoked too. Like, what does it mean to be unequally yoked? And you still stay with the spouse, just like 1 Corinthians 7, the 7th chapter talks about, which I don't believe my wife's an unbeliever. She still believes. It's just I've struggled with some mental problems since the Navy. I was in the military. And I'm just trying to get some clarity on this because I keep listening to the radio station, the local radio station, Air One, and I hear these songs that kind of, it makes me think about my relationship with my wife.
Well, Gary, as far as the Word of God is concerned, I think you're exactly right to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because that is the advice, the wisdom, the biblical wisdom that God pushed through the Apostle Paul to you and to me. And so he says to the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce or put away his wife. So that's the biblical directive as far as marriage is concerned. Now, here's the good news, Gary. If you and your wife are both Christians, and that's what you say, you're both believers, what that means is that God's Spirit lives in each one of you. And so with God's Spirit there in the middle, you have great hope. You're not trying to work it out on your own. You're not trying to really just keep it together by holding on with your fingertips. You have the power of God at your disposal. And as you trust and depend upon the Holy Spirit, as you walk by the Spirit, then I think you'll be able to figure out ways that will keep this marriage together.
Okay.
Does that make
sense?
Thank
you so much, Bob.
You're welcome, Gary. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Gary, good to hear from you. We have open lines for you at 844-322-2742, and we have plenty of time on the clock. I want to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. You know, many of us were with us for the Friday teaching series late last year that addressed Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. Well, as we said before, we packaged those top 10 messages into a CD series, and we'll be happy to send you a copy to say thank you for your gift and for your love and your support of Basic Gospel in the month of January. The top 10 will encourage you to walk every day in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can grow in grace by listening through it and taking advantage of what's taught through that series. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Hector called, and he wants to know the difference between B.C. and A.D. So we use those two abbreviations to divide human history. So B.C. is something that means before Christ. A.D. is a Latin phrase that means in the year of our Lord. And so we've divided human history at the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of interesting because when you look at the Word of God, you see the cross really is that division.
Yes.
And we need to really look at what Jesus did at the cross as the dividing line before the cross and after the cross. Why? Because at the cross, Jesus died to take sin upon himself, and he ended that old covenant, ended the reign of sin and death in this world, and he ushered in a new covenant, and he ushered in the reign of life.
Yeah.
And so that's the change. But historians have looked and said, hey, let's make a division on our calendars. Let's do before Christ and A.D. in the year of our Lord. And so that's what those two mean. Sometimes in history books or in secular books, you're going to see BCE,
right,
and then the CE. So BCE would be before the common era,
right,
and then CE would be the common era.
I think the word error is right. It should be era.
Yeah, it's not error.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we have BC, AD, before Christ, and in the year of our Lord.
Well, it's good to hear from Hector, and good to hear from all of you, our listeners. We had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hey, Bob, I just had a quick question. I was reading in the Old Testament earlier this week, and I came across some verses that were a little bit weird, a little strange. It's in Exodus chapter 32, the verses 8 through 14. Mainly 14 is when Moses, it's before that, but Moses pretty much tells the Lord to repent. And then it says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Just a little bit confused on that. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Thank you. Have a wonderful night.
Well, we appreciate that that question, and there are some troubling passages in the Old Testament regarding God repenting. We see in Genesis 6:6 that he regretted making man, and he brought about the flood and destroyed all of mankind except for Noah and his family. We see in 1 Samuel 15, for example, that he regretted putting Saul as the original king. And then we see here in Exodus 32, we see God's anger rising against the people of Israel. Now, it was justified here in Exodus 32. If you recall the story, Moses was up on the mountain. He had been up there an extended period of time, and the Israelites were getting restless down below. And so they appealed to Aaron and said, hey, we've got to do something. We've got to have some gods to worship. And if Moses has abandoned us and his God has abandoned us, then we have to have some gods. So Aaron bought into that. He asked for all the jewelry. And so they melted it down, and he formed and fashioned a golden calf. And they bowed down and said, you, O gods, are the one that led us out of Egypt. So they started worshiping this golden calf, and then they started partying and pagan revelry, as the Word of God says. So God sees all this. He understands what's going on, and his anger toward the people starts to rise. And so he says, hey, I just want to get rid of all of these folks, and then I want to start all over again.
Yeah.
And Moses intercedes for the people. And I think this is significant. And so in this intercession, Moses appeals to him and says, remember your promise. These are the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. So remember that. And also your glory, your name. What if you strike all of these people dead? What are the Egyptians going to say about you? Remember your glory. Remember the sanctity and the sacredness of your name. And so God says, okay, I'm not going to do what I had planned to do. And then Moses goes down, and then his anger toward the people rises as he sees what's actually going on around the golden calf. Now, what do we take from this? How do we understand this? Well, I think first of all we need to realize what Samuel says to us in 1 Samuel 15:29. God is not a man that he should repent or have regret. So he's not like us.
Right.
And we have to recognize this. Now, when Moses is telling the story of the golden calf, he is speaking in anthropomorphic language.
That's a good word.
So he is projecting human-like qualities on God. Well, why does he do that? Because that's the only way he can tell this story from a man-centered viewpoint. And so he does. So we have to recognize that God isn't up there, a schizophrenic God, being mad and then being calmed down and then being mad and then being calmed down. No, that's not God. That's not what he's like at all. He is slow to anger. He reveals that to Moses in the very next chapter, or in chapter 34, as he passes by and shows his glory to Moses. He said, I'm slow to anger. That's the very character of God. That's the nature of God. And I think we need to take this particular story as an instance in where Moses started to understand the real nature and character of God and started to appeal to God on the basis of God's character and love toward the people. So it's something that I think is so encouraging to us. When God says that he's going to renew our minds, what does that mean? It means our heart, our character begins to align with God's character. I mean, we've been made that way, and through the renewing of the mind, we're going to see that in experience. Yeah. And here we see a picture of that as far as God appealing on behalf of the people, being a mediator between God and the people as the one representative of Jesus Christ, being the mediator between God and man.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners. And thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. I want to remind you that to build your maturity and aid your understanding of God's grace, we invite you to visit our online store. You'll find it under resources at basicgospel.net. Well, if you have a question you'd like us to address, you can call anytime. That number, of course, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And once again, we extend our sincerest thanks to everyone who loves this message and the Lord of the message, and who supports this ministry with your love, with your prayers, and with your gifts. And in January, one way we'll keep the good news coming is by sending you a copy of the CD series, The Top 10, Bob Christopher's Favorite Passages, and you can donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Request your copy when you make your January gift. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, again, we love hearing from you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. We'll address your question on tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel. Till then, for Bob and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.